We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing some songs, and then we're going to have a wee Bible study in Acts chapter 8. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings, Lord, to us, who are once in this, Lord. Thank you for saving us by the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the gift of salvation as well, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful day, Lord, and thank you for the Sunday that you've given us, for refreshing and for resting, for building us up, Lord, and for to know more about the and our will in our lives, Lord. See us so mighty apart from this land, Lord, especially the city that attracts and people that talk to you about Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. See us so mighty powerfully and beautiful services are starting even today, Lord, and I've started previously, Lord. Use it mighty and powerfully in the service to come. Use that spirit to touch those that are lost, Lord, and to bring back the backslid as well, Lord. See us so mighty and powerfully as well, Lord. Also, be after the prayer, Lord, give joy and mercy to you. Frank and Dr. Shine, Lord, keep safe from well, Lord, bring him back. Keep back to life as well, Lord, and to us as well, Lord, bring him to the church at the point of time as well, Lord. We've called wherever it is that a fire around the world, keep safe from well, Lord, and bring him back to you as well, Lord. We have also Stephen Colin John, Lord, Stephen Wood as well, Lord. We have keep him and bless him as well, Lord. We have Pat Steve, Lord, give Pat some respite and some refreshing, Lord. Help him by the new force, Lord. Give Steve, Lord, heal him. Give him strength, Lord. And mightily build him up, Lord. And pray for him day by day as well, Lord. Keep us this day, Lord. Also with John McCown, Catherine, Lord. Bring him back to church, Lord. Save him souls mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. The workers come to live in the gospel, Lord. Give him a message from thee, Lord. And uplift our hearts, Lord. And give us a message to our hearts and our minds and our soul.
Amen. Thanks, God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Little Black Books this evening. If you would like to take yours and turn to hymn number 2 this evening. Hymn number 2 in the Wee Black Books is this blessed old book. We'll remain seated as we sing the first of our hymns this evening.
Yeah.
15 years ago,
yeah,
and that just really stuck with me. Very few songs about the Word of God and how important it is to that. Number 35. We'll go to number 35, and if you're able, we'll continue singing praise the Lord. And no one understands like Jesus. Hymn number, let's say 35. Hymn number 35. No one understands like Jesus.
Dwelt, I do year to year, let them kill sacrifices, yet I will distress Ariel
and they shall be heaviness and sorrow, and shall be unto me as Ariel, and will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee, and I shall be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be no wind for dust, and thy voice shall be as one of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of the strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff and pass away, yet it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her, and her munition, and that distresser shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out, and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine, they stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which may I deliver to the one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with the mouth, and with the lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvellous work among this people, even a marvellous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide the counsel from the Lord, and the works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the polished clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? Is it not yet a little, very little while, and leaven shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all they that watch for iniquity are cut off. Then make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth from the gate, and turn aside the just, for it is not a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, presuming the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, that he shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in the spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for reading. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they've got their little prayer list. All the prayer requests are in there. The extra ones are, of course, for Frank and Dr. Shang travelling on the 24th, that's Wednesday, back home from China. Please pray for them. For Eleni Moore, still going through chemo.
Yes, sir.
Please remember him. For a fellow by the name of Richard Keyes, do you know Richard Keyes? He would have been Ethel's brother. Please pray for him. Bumped into him up in Campsie there the other day whilst I was in getting the arranging to get the car looked at, so please do pray for that. And Will wants us to pray for his work, or at least him, whenever he's at his work, so please remember that. I have myself and Monica, Ling, Will and Norman for private prayer requests. Do you have any, John, any private prayer requests? You didn't have to give us the details. You do?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the Lord knows what that is. We don't need the details. And we will be praying for your private prayer request as well. Got a bunch of thanks, and we're glad to have it. Noeline Laverne, cancer's cleared for Alan. Alan Rice, cancer cleared as well. And Will better. But, you being a bit better anyway. Normally, if thing, Norman, I was just, Will mentioned it today, that friend of yours, that member that was attacked by the gardener, how's he doing? The
one I haven't seen him in 7 months.
That's how long it's been.
That's how long it's been. He's still alive.
That's a good thing. No news is good news. Well, and we pray that he continues on. Amen. Please pray for Israel. The Lord asks us to make sure that we do. So make sure that you do. And the Bible says, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. And if you curse Israel or come out against them, you're putting yourself, in the words of the song, not on the Lord's side. Amen. Let's pray, and then we will sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for the freedom that we have to be here this evening. Pray that you would watch over us and keep us, even as we take this time. Please open our understanding of the Scriptures. I pray, Lord, that everything would be done decently and in order, like as in all the churches of the saints. And Lord, for all the names that we've mentioned, Alan Rice, Noreen Laverne, for that man that Norman knows that suffered those horrific injuries from that worker in B&Q's, or TK Maxx's grounds. Lord, for our private prayer requests, and you know what they are, Lord, and I pray that you would grant them according to your will. So much going on. Please bless us now. Help us to remember to keep our eyes upon you, even when the world, the flesh, and the devil comes against us. And Lord, please go before us and fight those battles in the hearts and minds of men that only you can. And I pray, Lord, for souls to be saved and for Christians to be seen as victorious. We love you and praise you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our Read Like Books again. This time, if you would like to take and turn to, was it number 11 somebody picked? Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. That's a good old hymn. Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Number 11 in the hymn books, the Read Like hymn books. And amen. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Oh,
for that, we will open our Bibles. Hymn number 30. I need Jesus. Sometimes whenever somebody picks these hymns, I'd be thinking about, I think we all do whenever I start reading the notes and stuff, but we definitely do need Jesus. Amen. Number 30, we'll stand as we sing. I need Jesus. Number 12 or number 13. We'll get to that at the end. That'll be our tail end. Yeah, we are in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 this evening, if you'd like to take a turn there. Acts chapter 8, this is a little bit of a series of messages about the characters in the book of Acts and how the gospel affected them and how they responded to the gospel. This is a help to you, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 26. We're going to read the next 15 verses, and that will take us to the very end of Acts chapter 8, verse number 40. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. If you can cast your mind back to last week, we were speaking about Simon the sorcerer and how he reacted whenever he came under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And getting saved and how he behaved after that. And we're assuming that everything went okay because you never hear another thing about him in the Bible. And that's good. That is good. Amen. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 26. And we're going to be reading about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Amen. That is our Bible reading for this evening. We're going to have a blow-by-blow through that and just see what comments we have about the sequence of events and how another man came to know Christ as a Saviour. Well, would you pray for us, please, and then we'll continue.
Dear Father, thank you for everything you give us, Lord. I pray for the blessing of grace, Lord, and the gift of salvation of Jesus Christ, Lord, for Christ victorious. So thanks for the cross to save us from our sins, Lord. May we spread to those who are lost, Lord, and give us the Holy Spirit to speak about Jesus and the saving grace, Lord, as well, Lord. We are promised to come to love the gospel, Lord. Give us the strength and give them the message, Lord. Give us the Spirit, Lord. And teach us new things, Lord, and bring us our lives more in tune with thee, Lord. And we started Christ Center week this week, Lord, and throughout, Lord, as well, Lord. Give for the world, Lord. Give for the Jews, Lord, in the homeland. Thanks for keeping and blessing, Lord. But also, Lord, the same soul-minded part as well, and said, Blessed are among them, both in Israel wash with the word, Lord, may convict them, and may they be saved through Jesus Christ, unto salvation, and sanctified by your Son and the Spirit, Lord. Yours is the case this night, Lord. Give us a message, Lord. Give us a blessing for that honor, for that glory, for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah, it is good to read about people and how they react to the Word of God, because someday one of those examples that you read in the Bible will be you, as you speak to someone about the man that gave his life on the cross for you. We're going to begin with the call of the Holy Spirit, or the angel of the Lord, if you like, and his command to Philip. And it might seem like a useless endeavour if someone said, and bear in mind at this particular moment in time, people were getting saved everywhere. It wasn't that long ago that 3,000 men accepted Christ as their Saviour. Of the thousands that heard the Lord speak, that ate of the bread and even thronged him that time that he got off the boat and the woman touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Thousands of people heard and saw and experienced the preaching of the cross, and now these apostles and these disciples, in the name of Jesus Christ, were going everywhere to tell people about Jesus. Now, everywhere means everywhere, because the Lord said, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, your home ground, your neighboring ground, and all around you, they need to hear the gospel. That was the message that was passed from Christ to us. And here we see Philip being told by the angel of the Lord, I need you to go into the desert. And I am sure some of us, because we are so wise, if the Lord said to us, I want you to go into the desert, I want you to go down to the shore of the Foyle there on a winter's day, because I have a job for you there. And you'd be thinking, but Lord, there's nobody going to be down at the Foyle on a winter's day. There's nobody in their right mind is going to be down there. The wind will cut you in two, and it'll probably be raining to boot, and it'll be cold, and it'll be uncomfortable. Lord, can we not do it in a good day? Can we not even wait until maybe June or July, when it's still a bit cold with the wind coming off the Foyle, but at least there'll be sun up there? That's what we would be saying. But the Lord knows what's happening. And whenever the Lord really, really puts it upon your heart about something, you ought to do something about it. And I don't mean to say, Lord, wait 10 more minutes. The Lord's not your mommy and daddy who's going to wait another 10 minutes for you to finish another turn in your video game or whatever it is you're doing. When the Lord asks you to do something, you can consider that a gilt-edged invitation to be a front row spectator and even participate in the saving of a soul or the ministering to some of them. So Philip went. And even as he was going, and he didn't know this at the time, lo and behold, we have this Ethiopian eunuch. And he's just coming back from worshipping at Jerusalem. And he's sitting in the chariot, and obviously, who's ever preaching or whatever he was listening to, they must have been talking about Isaiah 53. And if there was ever, a portion of scripture to be reading, especially in Jewish times, it's probably the most perfect description of Jesus Christ the Messiah in the Old Testament. That's the scriptures. And I can almost hear Philip cheering within himself and saying, Lord, you know exactly what you're doing. And he does. And the Spirit said to Philip, he said, go and join yourself to the chariot. And if you're looking down there in verse 30, it doesn't say that Philip went to the chariot 15 minutes later. It doesn't say he sauntered over. He ran to the chariot. He overheard the eunuch reading these verses from Isaiah the prophet. And he said, and this is the thing that bridges gaps of race, of language, of culture, is just asking meekly, as a teacher, as a friend, do you know what you're reading about there? I heard you reading from Isaiah the prophet. And of course, we have this student of the scriptures, because he is reading. A student of the scriptures, not twiddling his thumbs on the way back, waiting until he gets there. I wish they would hurry up with the in-flight meal and the peanuts and the watery airplane coffee or tea that's probably been stewing for who knows how long and whatever that hasn't been cleaned for weeks or months. He was reading the scriptures. He was interested in the scriptures, even just like the Lord's disciples whenever he called them, waiting for the Messiah. He says, how could I even know what that means unless there was someone to show me? And we were reading this morning. Verse number 32 was reading from Isaiah where it said, as a lamb, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? All of those things, speaking about the way Christ came to this world and how he was treated in this world, how he approached everybody as a friend, as a helper, as a savior, as a first aider, never as a king and a conqueror, which he could have, and nobody could have said anything, but he was here to save souls. And then, this is the opportunity, we're rolling up to an opportunity for a man that is quite literally champing at the bit to tell this man the gospel. The eunuch literally gives him an invitation to explain the gospel. And he says, who's that about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And as we read on, we see that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Christ. And if you ever want to reach a Jewish person of whatever age or whatever part of the world that they're from, you need to be able to show them Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Isaiah has many a reference to Jesus. It talks about a virgin being with child. It talks about a son born unto us, a child given unto us, and his name being Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And it talks about, of course, in Isaiah 53 and many other prophecies about the Lord and Savior. And he gets that opportunity. He literally asks him, tell me who it's about. And he tells him that it was Jesus born of a virgin. If you scoot back a bit to the earlier parts of Isaiah, this is the Christ, the Messiah, who fulfilled these scriptures. His parents told us about the things that he went through when he was little and how he came to be in the world. The Lord himself spoke about us. We were witnesses to his arrest. Those scriptures that you just read, he never defended himself whenever he was accused. They said, oh, he did this and he did that and he did something else. And even the word of God records that not even two of their witnesses agreed with each other. Even Pilate, who should have been his arch enemy, said, this man is innocent, what, two or three times? And all that they could get Jesus on was, oh, he said the temple would be torn down, his body would, the temple would be destroyed. That's all that they could get him on. Do you have any more witnesses? Yep, I'll second that. That's all that they could get Jesus on. That's not blasphemy. That was not against the law, but they went and did that. The Bible records that he must have spent a little bit of time doing that, and a lot of those pieces just fell into place. And that's what we would like, isn't it? We know that all the pieces fell into place for Paul as well. And we will, of course, be coming to Paul in the next chapter, or Saul as he was known back then. But like the two men on the road to Emmaus, whenever the Lord came back, beginning with the Old Testament, and preached unto them Christ, he got saved. Now, there's a little bit of hair slipping here when it comes to baptism. Baptism is not for infants. We may call it christening in some churches, but it's not baptism. And it doesn't mean a single thing. It might get your name in a book in the church, in a church closet somewhere, but it doesn't have anything to do with getting your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. One of the things that he did understand was, I'm sure being acquainted with the baptism of John, is that he needed to be baptized as an act of obedience and demonstrating his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not getting water sprinkled on him and being called names. And as somebody once said, and I never went back. They threw water at me, called me names, and I never went back to church after that. And this is what Philip says. The eunuch says, look, here's a lot of water here. I could be baptized here. Like, what's the conditions for me getting baptized? And Philip says, if thou believe with all thine heart. And many versions of the Bible have the next little bit out that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is very important. You can believe anything with your whole heart. I can believe with my whole heart that I could jump from here onto that seat without breaking my leg. I could believe it. I know I couldn't do it. And I probably would break my leg if I tried to jump it. Believing something doesn't make it so. And this is a very simple lesson, and I'm sure everybody here understands that, but there is a significantly noisy portion of the population believes that if you believe you're a man can be a woman, that all you have to do is believe it. Or if you want to believe that a woman can be a man, all you have to do is believe it. But that opens the door for all sorts of mental illness and criminals to do whatever they want. Believing something does not make it so unless it actually is so. And this man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which Christ claimed. I believe what Jesus said. What else did Jesus say? I believe that you must be born again, because Jesus said that to Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus, don't be looking at me with big eyebrows and an open mouth. Don't be surprised when I tell you you must be born again or you're not getting into heaven. Don't be surprised about that. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, especially, now it doesn't mention the Ethiopian eunuch when the 5,000 were fed from a few small loaves and fishes. But after that was some of the heaviest and hardest preaching that ever came from the mouth of the Lord, when the Lord said, you believers, you need to make the Word of God so much a part of your life. It's on your thoughts, it's in your conversations, part of your daily lives. You need to consume the Word of God and let its power work in your lives. You need to do that. I guarantee you, friends, that even in Christian circles, there's a lot of Christians don't want to do that because they love their sin too much. But the eunuch was saying, I believe that. And he wasn't just talking hot air. He wasn't saying it just to be saying it, because he didn't know Philip was going to turn up at his chariot. He was reading the Bible. He was genuinely seeking, and God knew that, and God sent Philip to preach the gospel to him. Not only that, but he had more than a passing familiarity with the scriptures when he was able to say, I need to be baptized. I need to obey God. So they both went down into the water. And the Bible records that Philip baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Lord caught Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, you can take that to mean one of two things. That the Lord whisked Philip away. You know, like the rapture, when we disappear in the twinkling of an eye and we meet the Lord in the clouds. You can take it that way. Or you can take it to be that Philip said good day to the eunuch, and God go with you, and God bless you, and I'll be praying with you. Obviously, somebody wrote it down here. Probably passed it on to Luke, and Luke wrote it down. And the eunuch never saw him again. Philip's next port of call was Azotus. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. That would have been cool to see Philip just... That would have been cool. It would have been noteworthy. Do you remember what Jesus said whenever he sent the 70 out 2 by 2? And he gave them authority over sicknesses and spirits and one thing and another. And they went out, and in the name of Jesus, they healed people and they cast demons out of people. And whenever they came back, they were going, "You're never going to believe what we can do. We've been casting demons out of people and sick people. They're getting back up on their feet again with nothing wrong." You know, remember what Jesus said. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I don't know about you, friends, but I remember the day that I was saved. And I was glad I was saved. I was saved in a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church where people regularly landed on their backs and amongst a stack of folding chairs, and people regularly stood up and spoke in tongues. None of which I agreed with, but I didn't know any better. But one day I got saved, and I got saved good and proper, and I went on my way rejoicing regardless of whatever else was going on around me, because something special had just happened in me. I had repented of my sins. I had made space for the Holy Spirit to take up residence in my heart, and he had in an instant at my invitation, because I took God at his word. And that's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. The important thing is not that Philip was whisked away by the power of God, or whether he just got up and got his clothes on and headed off in a different direction. The important thing is the eunuch was saved and obeyed Christ in baptism. Thankfully, Philip was able to get on, and I am sure spurred on by this and telling people, "You'll never believe it. The Lord said to go out into the desert, and I found someone in the desert." It's crazy. Can you imagine the eunuch going back to Ethiopia and telling people, "You know, I was in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden this wee man stood up and said, 'Do you know what you're reading?' I was just reading out of Isaiah. But as it turns out, I was reading about the Messiah. That man that they crucified a while back. He was the Messiah." A couple of thoughts, and then we'll be done. Friends, it pays to listen to the leading of the Lord. It pays to listen. Whether it's for yourself or whether it's for somebody else's profit in the Lord, it pays not only to listen to the Lord, but whenever he calls, to obey him. You will get to see and take part in amazing things. Even if it seems counterintuitive, it pays to listen to the Lord. I remember an account from a preacher. As in most of my tales, the names have been forgotten to protect the innocent. And the Lord really put it upon his heart to go to one of the gold rush towns. And he went to the town, and the place was deserted. But yet and all, the Lord told him, "Go into the hall and preach a message." And so he went into the hall and he said, "Lord, there's nobody here." But the Lord said, "Preach the message." And so he preached. And because there was nobody there to offend, he must have let loose and preached his heart out. And whenever he was done, he just packed up his stuff and went on. And it wasn't until some time later that he was pulled to one side by a man and said, "Thank you for preaching the gospel to me. I got saved out in the middle of nowhere, out in the gold rush town." And the fellow said, "But that place was abandoned. There was nobody there." He said, "That's right. But they sent me back to get some tools. And as I was walking past the hall, I heard you preach the gospel. And it convicted me so deeply, it scared the living daylights out of me, that there'd be a man preaching in an empty room. But the Lord used it to save my soul." You don't know. God doesn't expect you to be knowledgeable about the situation. He does expect you to be knowledgeable at least about the scriptures he's called you to speak about. But he does expect you to be faithful and just do what he says. So trust the Lord, and whenever he calls, answer. The next thing we need to lesson, I would hope we would learn, is that we need to read and study the scriptures. Not just for ourselves. I'm going to tell you something. It is good to read and study the scripture, because those little revelations that you get as the Holy Spirit puts the scriptures together in your heart make you stronger as a Christian and as a person. But they also can be used for other people, because other people could be looking for exactly the same scripture that means so much to you. So read and study the scripture. And if you ever get a chance and someone asks you, what in the world are they talking about in Isaiah 53? You can tell them, that's the best description of Jesus Christ the Old Testament has to offer. The world, the flesh, and the devil will always call things like that a coincidence. Someone might say, well, what coincidence? Philip just happened to be walking through the desert. What a coincidence that the Ethiopian eunuch is just coming back from going to worship God in Jerusalem. What a coincidence that that very scripture was a picture of the Christ that had just been slain on the cross and gone alive up into heaven. See, those things are not coincidences, friends, especially when it comes to people's souls. Those things are providence. Something that does seem to be a little bit of an issue these days is class. Are you working class? Are you blue collar? Are you white collar? Are there any other collars? No collar? I don't know. Don't be afraid to preach the gospel to anybody. It doesn't matter whether somebody drives a Merc or a Mini, the old type Mini. That person's still a living soul. If you ever get the opportunity, speak to them about the Lord with a love in your heart for their soul. The same love that was put in somebody else's soul, that same love that saves your soul. It doesn't matter who they are. They need to hear the gospel. We were in Foyleside the other day, in Waterstones, at the bookshop in the Foyleside. And if you walk in about three stalls, right in the middle of the store, there is a book about that size there, all about Desmond's, from 1894, something like that, to 2004, whenever they shut down. And of course, I did what anybody that worked in Desmond's did. What do you do? See if my name's on it. Might have bought it then, but no, my name didn't appear in it. Neither did the IT department. I was a little bit disappointed at that. But never bought it. And the things that were in my mind were, this is the man that raided the pension scheme in Desmond. After getting, it's not a knighthood, is it, where you, an OBE?
CBE.
What does that stand for? Something of the British Empire, does anybody know?
Commander.
Certainly something of the British Empire. The squeezer of the British Empire, the crusher of the British Empire, to see how much money. But he liquidated Desmond's and forsook his responsibility to the tune of about £30 million. And I think eventually they came after and got so much off of him and another member or two of the board of directors. And of course then money, I am sure, from the publishing of the book. And all of these things flashed in front of me. But also the fact that that man received a very nice leather-bound with portions of the scripture that I found very helpful marked out on little gospel tracts. And if there was ever an opportunity for a man to get saved, that was it. Whether he ever does or not, I don't know. My name hasn't changed and my location hasn't changed. I would love to think that if someone got saved from the work of Desmond's, or from the work of Desmond's, well, the work of Desmond's, but the work of Bethel, that they would let us know. But never be afraid to talk to people like that. Whether he's up there or down there in the company structure or over there in life, never be afraid to tell someone that God loves them and gave his life for them on a cross. That they have a soul that's important, that's valuable. God loves even the darkest of souls. Another thing, move at the pace of the person that you're ministering to. I would love it if I could just stand and tell you everything that gives me a buzz out of the scriptures and how all of the things tie together. Even, would you believe, my old experience in IT? You wouldn't believe how much IT there is in the world of God. But people will grow at their own rate. And people can't take in everything. Sometimes we're a little bit like those little birds. Or people think we're like those little birds. You ever see the mother bird coming to feed the little birds? And they're looking up and their mouth's open wide like that. And the mama bird just fills that wee mouth with a big wriggly maggot, a big fat white maggot or a beetle or something like that. Take your time. The Bible only calls you to be faithful in delivering the message. And God, the Bible says, will give the increase, the growth in that person's soul. And you never know. Sometimes, as you faithfully execute your duty to God, your Father, and your Lord and your King, someone may actually take you up on your offer and trust the God that sent you to them as their Savior. And you might find them in the strangest of places. Some in a desert, in a McDonald's. You never know. But never be afraid to reach out to anybody about the gospel. You don't have to be a preacher. If you remember the words of the Lord, I think it was to the demoniac of Gadara, who wanted to follow with the Lord after being miraculously saved from a legion of angels. The Lord said, go and tell your own people about the great things that God has done for you. That's all you need to do. You don't need a degree in Bible understanding. You just need to remember what Jesus has done for you. Amen. I want to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll continue on with Paul, the Lord willing, next week, next Sunday evening. Right. I think we have one hymn left to sing.
13.
That's it. Number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and we can certainly do with it as the week commences. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 13. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Fire.
suggestions for the Bible readings today. And it's good to see you. God bless you. I pray each and every one of you has a good week. And God's hand be on your shoulder, leading you, guiding you, and keeping you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this day, for all the heads that are bowed in your presence, Lord. And I pray that you would bless us as we part company. See us safely home, and Lord, onwards from there. And we look forward to meeting again at the next appointed time. Please be with our absent brethren. We know all of our private prayer requests and petitions. We ask that you would grant those according to your will. And Lord, that even now in these last of the last days, we can see souls saved and lives changed. Please guide our hands for the tasks that we have ahead of us this week. Please fight the battles in people's hearts and minds, Lord, before we even get there. And Lord, we pray for marvelous victories. Thank you, Lord, for taking time with us and for your patience and long suffering. And we continue to lean upon you and your grace, Lord, and your long suffering for us. We continue to lean upon those and depend upon them all. We love you and thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Amen. Yeah. Folks, God bless you. Hello. We're dismissed.
Do you know what happened? I told you.